Kum Lenin, I blocked the mother.
You say this week, Tuesday, Friday, yeah? Friday this week, there's no shit, yeah?
No, Thursday this week, there's no shit. Yes, because we will learn, by Wednesday, we'll learn Thursday's Gemara. Okay. Tighten your belt. Daf nun dalad amid alf. Zog de gemore. Yosef Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta. Rav Yitzchak the son of Shmuel, son of Marta, sat kamed Rav Nachman before Rav Nachman. The Yosef would come and he sat there and he said, Drusa, an animal that was attacked by a predator, which makes it, it's one of the 18 treifas. And we said before that you test it, you check out the animal if you're not sure. Or even if you're sure, according to some Rishonim, you shech the animal and you cut it open, and then you look the meat around that area of flesh. If it's there's a if it's reddening, that means there's some poison venom that was passed through it. Which part of the animal do you check? You check in the stomach area, and Machlekes Rashi teaches that includes the lungs and the liver, or just the which Rashi says, or according to Teisa, only the stomach area. Comes one of you want to say, "Oh, the kim, I swear." Rav Nachman said, I swear, Moiri Borav, that Rav Paskin, you know what section of the animal you should check? Me kappa from the spoon, va ad itmon till the thigh. My kappa, which spoon? Ile mo kappa the other, the spoon of the leg, of the foreleg, which is like the shoulder. Hainu kenege b'nei ma'ayim. That's exactly the same thing he said, the entire stomach area. That's included. Ela mekapa de meicha means from the skull, the spoon around the brain, which is the skull, ad itma till the thigh, a much greater area. Ki, that's what, that whole area, you should check to see if there's any reddening of the meat. Ki soldek Rabbi Yosef went up to Israel, Ashkechina, he found that Rabbi Yechina and Rishloki, the Yasvi, they were sitting, Ukaamri, and they also were saying this, discussing this law. And they said, Drusa she'amru tzricha b'nika k'reim, they have to only check around the stomach area. Amalu, they said to him, Olekim. So Rabbi Chiba Yosef said, I swear, Moidi, but Rav added, he paskin mekup of ad atman. That's not just the stomach area. It goes from the spoon, which we just said means from the skull, all the way down to the thigh. Amalei the Shlokish. Now hear this? After we learned the entire Shas, how many times did Rav's name come up? Thousands of times. The Shlokish said, Manoi Rav, who is this Rav? Umanoi Rav, who is this Rav? V'lo yedainle, I have no idea who he is. What are you quoting me Rav for? No. Amar Rabbi Yechavichem said, V'lo yedainle, you don't remember? Because we, both of us, learned by Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, Rabbi Nakadosh. Do you remember La Oisei Talmud? He was a student, Shishimish's Rebbe Rabba, that served Rebbe, our teacher, V'Rabchi, and he also served Rabchia, V'Likim, and I can tell you, I swear, Kol Oisei Shanim, all of those years, and Rabbi Yechin was the youngest student, but he still learned there a couple of years, a few years, Shishimish Oisei Talmud B'Yeshiva, the Choshev Talmidim is a sit, and the less Choshev Talmidim is a stand. While this Talmud was sitting in this Rav, Ani Shemashti Ba'amida. You know what I was doing? I was standing. Uman Gavru, you're going to ask me, and what is he so great? Why is Rav so great? Gavar Bekula, he's great in everything. And Rashi says, Teira and Chassidus. He was our first Chassid. He was already a Chassid. Even like Maurice and then Odom was a Chassid. But he was like, he was Sai, a mensch, and he's very pious, and Sai, he was a big Talmud Chacham. Therefore, it's very astonishing, and the Gemara says in Gittin Avov that Mechi Osa Rav LeBavel, Rav brought Torah to Bavel, so he was like, not just Tamat, he was the most instrumental person to bring Torah to Bavel. And yet there's a Rashi in Gittin in the Nuns, where Rashi says at the very top of the page, in Omar Aleph, that Rav was a mediocre student. Which is very puzzling where Rashi gets it from, when it says right here, that Gova Bekula, he was strong in everything. Sorry? Yeah, exactly. Miyad immediately posach reish lokish lokish. Ah, you're right. V'am abram zocher oisei ishul tov. You're right. Not only do I remember, actually, I want to say that you should remember him in a good vein. A few places in Shas we say abram zocher ishul tov. Like by Rav Yehuda bar Baba, he gave smicha. Because of him, there was smicha by Eden. Shua ben Gamla, who started the school system, education system, and all the laws and all the rulings, says abram zocher oisei ishul tov. And here, Barav. But Ram Zochir Toiv. In fact, what they should have said is he brought Torah to Bavel. But it's not why. You know why he said Toiv? She'amru Shum Apiv. Because they said Halach in his name. The fact that somebody repeats something in your name, something useful, already I can say about you, Ram Zochir Oishi Shatoiv, because you're teaching Torah. Shemuta. What happens? We know, we learned before, that if the pikes have been removed from the original place, it's treif, and then you shecht it. But what about after you shecht an animal, suddenly you realize the pikes are removed, and the question is, when did it happen? Shaded is kosher, we're going to assume it happened after the shechita, because if it fell down before the shechita, how did you shecht through it? When you shechted by the neck, the pipes fell down, you wouldn't have to touch the pipes. How can a shmuta be a shmuta? How can a shmuta be a shmuta? If it fell down, how are you going to shecht it? Were you shechted by the neck? It wouldn't have affected the knife, the pipes. But Rabbi Yechonon says, no, we still have to do some kind of a test. Yovi brings, according to some Rishonim, according to the taste, brings in the name, or it doesn't bring the name, it says some say that it means bring another animal. And, or slice it again in the pipes. Now, and look at the coloring. The Yakim, bring it close together and see if they look the same or not. If they look the same, that means, that it's treif. Because it means the pipe already fell down beforehand, and therefore the shchita now, shchita then, was the same thing. But if they look different, then you'll say, oh, that would be shochet when the pipes are still intact, we're still hanging properly. I'm not talking about if he didn't grab a hold of some money when he shechted. But if some shechted, they grab the next, and maybe he grabbed the money, maybe Taka fell down, but he picked it up and he shechted it. So it proves nothing. And then we're Taka Machmir. Zehaklal, the Mishnah says, this is the rule. The Mishnah says that this is the rule regarding all treifes. And that is that anything that if it could not survive from this kind of a thing, it's treif. Anything, another animal would have the same effect. It would be, what if, for example, had this particular flaw, they wouldn't live. You already mentioned 18 treifes, what else? Shave Schmeitzer. There's a sefer called Shave Schmeitzer from the Ketzas HaChosh, came from this thing over here. We already had before the Gemara, there were 7 other treifes that were included, that were not included, but they also should be mentioned. Missing a kidney and all that. In the house of Yosef, the hunter, mochu begida, they used to hit the animals begida the nashe. They used to hit the animal by the gida hanoshe with an arrow or the stick, the kotli, and that's how the animal died. So what happened? You shechted it before the animal died. The question is it a rare treif or not? Also, I'm going to say that Amul said v'chila hoisel al treifes. Yes, you want to add more to treifas? We think that this should be a treifah. We have the 18 treifas, and that's it. Even though, as it says in the Rishonim, that some of the treifas today, the animals don't die. It doesn't matter. If the Chazal say this is treif, then this is treif. And even though the other thing that animals do die, if the Chazal didn't mention, it's not treif. Unless it's, you know, the animal's dead. There's another version. The Veira Papa. But Abba, in the house of Papa Abba, Rishba, also the hunter, Mocha, Bekulia, they used to hit it in the kidney, also with sticks, whatever, with arrows, with Kotlu, and the animals die. The question is, if you shechted before that, also the Kameh, the Rababa, they came before Rababa, in other words, you hit it, and then you shechted it before the animal died, is it treif or not? Do we say, since this is a sign of treif, we don't care. If an animal has a treif sign, even though you shechted and the animal's alive, the animal's not kosher.
Besides, doing it that way is pretty cruel.
That's something else, but that's how there were hunters. That's how they used to catch their animals. You want to add to the treifas? We only have the 18 that listed. We see that it dies. What do you mean? Why shouldn't it be treif? We know for a fact that the animal eventually will die. So he says an interesting thing. We have a tradition. If you place some kind of medicine on it, chayav will live. All these other sicknesses, it's curable. But with the 18 treifas, even if it's curable, it's still treif. Look, the Mishnah, in the previous Mishnah, we listed all the treifas. Now I'm going to list you the kosher. Eluk shei behemah, the following, a kosher by an animal. What about, instead of being a puncture in the esophagus, nikva gagetas, the windpipe has a puncture, it's not treif, unless it's the size of an Italian coin. Oishin nizdiko, or if it was cracked, to the length, we said before, as long as you have a little bit left on the top of the windpipe and the bottom of the windpipe, it is kosher. Atkam betechzer, how much should be missing from the windpipe before we say it's treif? Italian isa. What about the skull was pressed in, but you didn't puncture at all the membrane around the brain, so the skull was crushed in, but that's about it. and but it didn't affect the brain. Nikiv halev, it's kosher. Nikiv halev, there was a puncture in the heart, in the flesh of the heart. V'loy lebeis chaloloi, but it did not affect the ventricles. It didn't go through and through into the ventricles. Just a lot of meat there. It's kosher. Nishbura hashedra, you broke the spine. V'lanivzik achuchula, but there's a spine, there's a vertebrae. You broke over there the vertebrae, but v'lanivzik achuchula, but the spine itself didn't break. Nitla hakoved, the liver was missing, but v'nishtayir heimen a kazayis, you left behind a kazayis. A kazayis either on the side of the gallbladder or a kazayis on the other side, on the side of the liver. Hemsis, a base of kaisis, there are four stomachs in an animal, if the two stomachs of the hemsis. And the base hakoisis shenigzel derzeh. We learned before, if you have punctures from the stomach to the outer, it's strafe. But the stomach, the whole idea of the stomach is that the food goes from one, you know, trickles from one stomach to the next. If you have, and there's already, you know, holes there. If you add another hole between one stomach and the next, it doesn't make it strafe, because who cares? It's going through anyway, the food is going through from one to the other. Nitlat choyel, if the spleen is missing. Nitlo hakloyis, if the kidneys are missing. Hard to understand if the kidneys are missing, how the animal survives. And some want to say that animals are different than humans. Humans cannot survive without kidneys, but one kidney you could. But if you're missing both kidneys, you can't live. What's going to filter out your food? But by animals, they want to argue that maybe they can live without, because they have four stomachs. Maybe things are different. Nitl lechi hatachten, if the bottom jaw has been taken away, it's been taken away, so the pipes are still, you know, they're intact. But the bottom goes missing. Nitla aimshala, the uterus is missing. All of these things, the animal's still kosher. What about if the liver shrinks? Why? Because it heard a thunder, and you know that people also hear thunder, they get all frightened. And they hear a thunder, they get all frightened. It's kosher. Hagluda, if the skin was peeled off, if the entire skin was peeled off, he had some kind of leprosy or something, or some kind of a boils, or from work, whatever, the whole skin was peeled off, and nothing was left. Only a little bit had to be left. Rabbi Meir says, still kosher. Chum says, possible. Says the Gemara, eat more. Rabbi Echanam, Rabbi Echanam says, Eilu. The previous mission said, Eilu, today, the following treifer, and this mission says, Eilu, say the following kosher. Which is the main? Do we say that the first mission, these are treif, and everything else is kosher? So the main thing is the first mission, these are treif. Or do we say the same? The main thing is the second mission, these are kosher, but everything else is treif. And what's the everything? We'll soon see what's the difference. Rabbi Yechanan says, Eilu, treif is dafke. The first mission is, these are the treif, these are the only treif, and nothing else. And Rabbi Shimon Lokesh, I'm going to know, Eilu, kshedes dafke, these are the only kshedes. But my kemifke, what's the machleke? But they're a master, they're on here, a master. What do you mean? Rama Ramasna said, "Hi, Buka de Aitma." He says, "If you have over there the by the thigh, the ball of that, you know, where the thigh goes into the, you know, by the hip, has been removed. The shaf meduchta was removed. Treif is treif. Now it's not mentioned in the Mishnah. If the thigh has been dislocated, it's treif. The ball went out of his joint. It's treif. It's not mentioned in the Mishnah, but Ramasna says it. Rabbi Yechanan, Eimer, Eilu treifas dafke. The first Mishnah says these are treifas. Only those are treifas." Tanda treifas, it says a treifas. With Tanda Zakal, then it mentions over there, and the following rule, anything which caused the animal to die. And we asked, what's the point of saying that, to add the seven other laws of treifas? So maybe also we should add the law of Rav Masna if the hip was removed, if the the thigh was removed. Then the Mishnah saw, what about the Masna, the Asya Bezerklal? You might think to include it in the rule, my time, the Damiel and the Tuna, because it's just like, it's as if it's removed. And it's one of the forms of treifas. If the entire area is removed, it's treif. If the liver, for example, is missing, it's treif. Therefore, it says there, Tana, therefore the Mishnah starts off, Eilu treifas, these are treif, but not the case of the Masna. I disagree. If the thigh has been dislocated, the ball has been removed from the hip, it's not treif. Haniu the treif, only the treif. Hodra, Masna kshedah, Ramasna's kosher. That's Rabbi Yechon's version. Rabbi Shimon Lok says, no, Eilu kshedah dafka, this Mishnah is the main one, these are kosher. Ramasna's treif. The Tana treif is dafke, Tana treif is the Tana is a clown. So the previous Mishnah learned about the treif and learned about the rule. The Chazir saw the Masna, the Layasib, the clown. Then he saw the Masna that does not learn from the clown. My time is lovely. Kumidavya. He said, Rabasta is not a problem. Rabasta is no reason to be treif. Why? It's not really a puncture, because the ball moved from the joint. It's not a puncture. Nor is it cut off. It's still there. It's not missing altogether, because it's still there, just disconnected. Tana, therefore, it says Eluk Shadis, tell you these are kosher, Hanu the Kshadis, Hadila Masna Trefa Trefa. Says the Gemara Gufa, let's analyze over the Masna High Book It, over there, the Stai, the Shabbatuch moving place, Trefa Trefa. Rova, Marova says Kshadis, kosher. Rova disagrees with Masna, he holds like Rabbi Yechon, that is kosher. But the Ifsik and Nibe, if one of the veins there, one of the veins there that's on top of there that connects over the everything has been punctured, then it's treifer. Hilchos and halachas, even that's not right. Ifsik namik sheila. Adam is achli isachuli, unless it is all rotten around the area. Otherwise, it's all kosher. We'll continue in the anatomy of an animal. At Kamatech said, how much should be missing from the windpipe of tracheae before we say it's trefa? We say the size of a coin. Amazidi says, Idi, Atoin de Loy Mizchami Lechoin Shiurim. So he says here, you people, you never saw an Italian Issa, so you don't know what the Mishnah is talking about. I'll tell you what it is. Shiurim, you know what it's like? Dinra Kurdanoi. It's like the coin, the dinner in this place called Kurdanoi that you recognize. It's somewhere in the Hari Ararat area. And this is it. Vahavi kipshita zutrosi. It's like a plain coin. Umishtakhe ben pshita de Pumbedissa. And it's found amongst the coins of Pumbedissa. Am Rabchana, Pseirah, Rabchana, who was a money changer, and he had a lot of different coins, said, Elam and I, one standing above me, Havikoi was standing, Barnavcha, the son of the smithy. You know who the son of the Barnavcha, the son of the blacksmith? Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon in Shas is Rabbi Yechon Barnavcha. His father was a blacksmith, so they called him by his father's trade name. Rabbi Yechon and Barnach, they call Rabbi Yechon. They didn't mention his father. And he asked me one day, do I have amongst my coins this coin from Kurdanoi? He needs to use it to figure out the size of a trefa by a windpipe. And I wanted to stand up before him. Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yechon. So I want to stand up. He didn't let me. Amali said, shave, b'ni, shave. Sit, sit. You know why? Ein ba'luminus. This is an unbelievable halach in the Gemara. A tradesman is not allowed to lamed mipnei tamachachim. You're not allowed to stand up even for tamachachim, the couple of seconds it takes, even though it's out of respect. Mishar says, ulachtim. As Rashi learned, you're working for somebody else, you have no right to be frum. In fact, we had in Gemara brachas that if you work for somebody else, you should bench. A short version of benching. You have no right on your boss's time to daven arichas, to eat barichas when davening dalon base. Yes, 100%. But today we don't do it. It doesn't happen. You eat lunch in your own free time. So it's your time. But in those days, there's no such thing as lunch hour. So that's one version of Rashi that you're not allowed to. I was talking about you with somebody else. Taisa says a shayin doesn't have to be not allowed to. It can mean you don't have to, even if you're working for yourself. Of course not. You shouldn't be working there. But yes, it's a different thing altogether. That means don't daven barichas and don't. Yeah, I was being sarcastic. But Taisa says another pshat is a shayin doesn't necessarily mean you don't have to. A shayin means you're not allowed to. It means you don't have to, even if you're your own boss. You don't have to stand for a time of chacham while you're working. And Taisa proves that the word rashayin, which normally we translate you're not allowed to, also means you don't have to. He brings a proof. The Gemara says that a person does not have to stand up for his rebbe more than twice a day. Why? Because we don't stand up for the Eibishter more than twice a day. It says there the expression ain't adam rashoi, and Taisa doesn't mean not allowed to, it means you don't have to. Now this is very important, this Taisa. Could neither be heard the Paskins, there's no mitzvah to visit your Rebbe today. Why? Because since there's no mitzvah to visit the Eibishter, the Beis HaMikdash today, we have the Beis HaMikdash, how can your Rebbe be more important than the Eibishter? And it says in the Gemara and Kedushin, you're not allowed to stand up for your Rebbe more than you stand up for the Eibishter. But Taisa clearly here in Chulin, that from Dalal and Beis says the Gemara doesn't mean you're not allowed to stand up for your Rebbe more than twice a day. It means you don't have to stand up for your Rebbe more than twice a day. But if you want to stand up for your Rebbe more than twice a day, definitely you can. So surely he said the whole proof of the Rebbe falls away. Okay. But it's an interesting halacha, idea, the work ethic. The work ethic is that your time is not yours. No such thing as coffee breaks, smoking breaks, and all that. No such thing. You're here to work. So anyway, right? The law is, what are we talking about? You're digressing. You're not allowed to stand up in the middle of work for Talmud Chacham, but now we learn people who brought Bikurim, Kabbali Umnis, all the people who were tradesmen, when the people marched in Yerushalayim. And sure was time bringing the Bikurim, everybody stopped their work and they would stand up for them and watch them come in. No, we see clearly they stopped work to see these people coming in. People doing mitzvah. If you stand up for people doing a mitzvah, surely you stop for people who are Tamil Chachamim. B'shoylim b'shleim, and they ask him, how are you? How was your trip? V'ayim le'machenu, and shema complaini, boyachim shalom. They make a big proclamation. People from the city of this, or that, come in. You're right. For these people, you stand up, but not for Tamim Nechamim. You want me to find a place? Rabbi Yisi Baravin said, "Boy, Yurei, come and see. Kama chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. Look how precious a mitzvah is while it's being done. Shari mipnei him. I mean, the people are bringing bikurim. We all stand up for. I mipnei tamid chachamim ein noimdim. But for a tam chacham, we don't stand up for. So we see from it clearly that people, even though you're working, you stand up." Says the Gemara, no proof whatsoever. Members, you never stand up in the middle of work. You know why you stand up here? Not because of for mitzvah or anything. Taka Tam Chacham. So first Gemara answers, Tam Chacham, you don't stand up. And I was talking about Tam Chacham. But for mitzvah, you do. Now the Gemara says, even for mitzvah, you don't stand up. So how come Bikurim you do? Not Stam Devel Tanan. You know why? Not because Chaviv and Mitzvah B'Shaitan. You know why? These people trudged all the way from all these places. And if nobody gives them the respect or gives them any dignity, they'll say, what do I need this whole hassle for? They'll never come again. And we don't want to be the ones who cause them not to come again. Exactly. Rav Nachman said, okay, finish that sugi. Rav Nachman says, when the Mishnah says kesela, when we have a halacha like kesela, when we say that if a body is found in a house and is missing from the spine or the skull, is missing in the spine, the size of a sela, kesela means kiyesem kesela. Kesela is a coin. We said a certain coin, let's say a quarter or something. It means kiyesem kesela. If it's exactly the size of a coin, it's like it's more and and it's no longer tame, which is a big kula. Ke'iser, when we say by the size of a windpipe, the size of this Italian iser, and the size of a tiny makes a treif, ke'yesem ge'iser, the size of the coin itself is like it's more than a coin. We don't just say more than an iser, it means the iser itself is considered like more. And it may, and therefore what? It's treif, the animal. So the Gemara, Alma, because I'm not holes, ad v'loy ad b'chal. Whenever we say, the Mishnah says, up to an Isser is kosher. Up to means excluding the Isser. The Isser is like more than the Isser. Actually, so now we're going to talk about this principle. It's like the question of Nachman. Chevel, if you have a rope, hayoyitze, minamit, in those days a bed was made out of wooden posts, and then they used to put rope all around it, and that was a bed, and it had some extra surplus rope that hung over there. The question is, the rope, the surplus rope, is that something makabel tum or not? Ad chamisha tfachim toir. Up to 5 tefachim, it is toy. Why? It's too small to have any use, so it has no. It's not a keli. What can you do with a rope that's less than 5 tefachim? So it's not really part of the bed, it's nothing. And even the bed becomes tame, this particular part of the rope, second rope, is toy. However, my love, but if it's more than 5 tefachim, you can use it then to tie an animal around it, like a Korban Pesach, they used to do it, and therefore, it becomes tame. My love, chamisha kilamata, up to 5 tefachim, including 5 tefachim. So even though he uses the word up to, he means including. 5 tefachim is useless. What's the line? No, chamisha kilamayla. Up to 5 means up to 5, excluding 5. 5 is already like more than 5. Yeah, and therefore it's tame. Why? Because they used to, interestingly, used to tie the Korban Pesach next to the bed with this rope to remember the first Pesach when the Eden tied all the animals next to the bed. Like, you know, the Sfarim have a custom on Pesach, they walk around with a matzah around the back and they walk around the table and say, that's what our ancestors did in Mitzrayim. So it seems that the Eden, the Rashi says, the Eden used to do it with the animal. They used to tie it to the bedpost to remember the very first Pesach. I think we're invited. Toshma coming here. Mehei ba'ada sara tame. It says, from 5 until 10 is tame. From 5 until 10 is tame. My love, isn't it talking about asara kilamata? What do you mean from 5 till 10 is tame? So l'chayda, once it's more than 10, again it's tar, because it's definitely not part of the bed becomes tame. If it's greater than 10, the rope remains tar, because even though you can use the rope, it's not part of the bed. Nobody's going to leave it there, hangs it a long stretch of rope. It's only between 5 and 10. It says, till 10, my lava sarik lamata, that 10 itself is like below 10. So we see that ad includes lo yasarik lamata. No, maybe 10 is above 10. That 10 tefachim itself is not included when you say till means up to and not included. Okay, Toshma coming here. Hadakin, if you have, let's say, small earthenware, shebe klei chedes, hein, the bottoms. Bitafnaseim, and the sides and the walls. If it broke, yoyishvin shalom zmochin, if the broken pieces can sit there without leaning on something else, and he can also receive something, shiyudan, how big should the pieces be that they say, oh, if this thing can still take a little bit of oil or something, that is still considered keli, b'chdei sichas katan, if a baby that's one day old, you only need a little bit of oil to smear, if these shards, any shard here, that is big enough to put a little bit of oil, it's considered what? It's considered as if it's still a keli. But ad lug, up to a lug, my lav, up to a lug, if the keli itself is a bigger keli, it's more than a lug, then you need that the shards, then it should be bigger than that. You need that each shard should be able to contain in it a quarter of a lug to be considered still a keli similar to its original purpose. Now, it says, Mesichas Katan ad lug, to lug, my lav lug kilamata, probably inclusive. Not like you say it means exclusive. Yeah, loy lug kilamayla. That lug is already considered, if lug is exclusive, you thought that what lug is inclusive. So he said, no. And not like Rav Nachman said that it's exclusive. So, you know, lug is kilamayla, lug is, it's, when you say up to a lug, a keli up to the size of a lug, but you don't include a lug is like greater. Toshma, okay, let's say further. It says a keli from the size of a lug to the size of a saw, any of the shards, how much oil should, how big should the shard be, how much oil should it be able to carry? Bit of yes. My lav saw kilamata, saw is included, the what? Only needed a vis. So we see it's inclusive. And we're like, no, saw kilamata. Saw is like a more than that, which means you need more than you need a half a lug, that each shard should be able to contain a half a lug, because and not included. Toshma coming here, misaw, vatsasayim, mechatzi lug, from a saw up to sasayim, how much should be left in the shard, enough to contain a half a lug. My lav sasayim kilamata includes the sign. Two saws, like sasayim ilmaila. Again, it's exclusive. It's very hard to understand this whole Gemara. You keep on saying, assuming it's inclusive. Whereas it's exclusive, why do you assume? Once I told you already that every time it says up to, it means up to, but not included. That's it. What are you asking me questions for every time? It doesn't find me a place where this contradicts what I said, but it didn't. So why are you making, you're surmising of this? And I'm telling you, no. Very difficult to understand the whole Mahalach of the Gemara. The Gemara of Atanya, oh, now the Gemara introduces a problem. We learned in a Braisa that Lug Kilamata. It says clearly that a lug is included, but it says in the Mishnah, up to a lug, it means including the lug. That what, how much, how big should the shard be? Small enough to have a little bit of oil to smear a little baby. Saw, kilamata, that a saw also is considered like less than a saw, which means you need, I should have a quarter of a lug. And sasayim kilamata, two saws like below that what, half a lug. So we see clearly that's inclusive. This is a finer question. Over there, we are going to say that inclusive and exclusive depends. Whichever is the chumra, that's what we're going to do. In these cases over here, it's the chumra. It's the chumra. How's the chumra? When we say that the shards become tummy, even if it takes a little bit of oil, that's a chumra. Not only when it has that big shard, even a small shard, that's a chumrah. So we're going to be machmen and say inclusive. How do I know? Amar Rav Huva, Amar Rav Yechon, kol shiurei chachamim, all the shiurei chachamim lahachmen are being machmen. That if it's exact, is a chumrah, we're going to say it's inclusive. And if it's not chumrah kula, we're not going to include it. Chutz mekegrishal ksamim, by a woman, if she finds blood on her, let's say, underwear, the size of a gris, of a pea, of an Egyptian pea, bean, if you find that size, if it's less than that, we say it's probably a flea, a louse, and you don't have to worry about it. It's not from internal. What about if we find exactly the size of a gris? We are mekel. Because the whole is only rabbanon anyway, and because the whole is rabbanon, in this case we can say if it's exactly the size, we mekel. And dekanami, I'll prove it to you, the Ktani Yalah, we learned in a brice actually. When it came to that rope around the bed, it said like this. If it's exactly 5 tvachim, we'll treat it like more than 5 tvachim, which means it's tummy. And asara kilamata, and if it's 10 tvachim, exactly 10, we're going to treat like it's less, and therefore it becomes tummy as well. So we go one side, we say it's exclusive, up to 5 tvachim, it's it's toir. But five is tameh because you can use it to tie around the current Pesach. And so we're machmir, we're saying that once it's exclusive. But when it comes to 10 tefachim, we say it's inclusive because more than 10 is too big of a rope, you're going to cut it off. But if it's exactly 10, it's inclusive. So we say that what? We always make them. It says further, nitlat choil, the Mishnah says if the spleen went missing, only if the spleen went missing, we say it's kosher. Aval nike, but if there's a puncture in the spleen, today for interesting, if the entire spleen is missing, we say it's kosher. But if there's a puncture in the thing, we say it's treif. What's the logic of it? But that's how it is. Because this causes the animal pain and eventually kills off the animal. Says the Gemara, Mosiv, Rabbi Yeshua Ravin, Rabbi Yeshua Ravin, that's a question. We're talking about Zvida. Choytich mu'uber shebimea. We can learn later the Gemara, I think, of Bempkor, which is if you kill the mother and there's a baby inside the womb, a little baby calf inside the womb. You don't have to shech the baby calf, it's included in the animal. Says Rabbi Yeshua Zvida, Choytich mu'uber shebimea. If you cut up the fetus inside, or the baby calf inside the mother's womb, mutebachila, you allowed, and then you shech the mother, you allowed to eat it, because everything that's inside the mother is kosher. But minat choil, if not, you didn't cut the baby inside the mother. You went and you cut the spleen into pieces. Or minat kloyes, the kidney pieces, awesome, bachila. It's also why it's called eva minachai. And because when do we say that you can eat the baby calf inside the animal? If the entire animal is intact, so then you can eat whatever else is in the animal. But if the entire animal is not intact, you decided to take a knife inside the animal and cut up the spleen while the animal's alive. I mean, I don't know why you would do that, but you did that. Is also bachila, is mashma from here. What you're not allowed to eat? You're not allowed to eat the spleen that you cut up, the kidneys, because that's eva minachai. Ha behema gufa sharya. But you're allowed to eat the animal itself. The spleen is missing. L'chayde, when you cut it up in pieces, like as if it's missing. And you just said in the Mishnah, excuse me. The Mishnah said it's kosher. Comes along Ravina and says, but if it's punctured, it's trafe. It's like puncture. When you're cutting other pieces, it's like a puncture. So how come it says here that the animal, you like to eat the animal? So you might know. Who are you for Behemina Masira? No, you misunderstood. The Behemina is also asir. Like I said, that if the spleen is missing, it's kosher. But if the spleen is cut up or punctured, it's trafe. So how come the Braisa says you're not allowed to eat the spleen? Say a bigger chiddush. You're not allowed to eat the animal. So the Gemara, I did the ton of reisha mutabachila because in the first part we're talking about the baby calf. That you're allowed to eat the baby calf without shechita, even though you cut it up while it's in the mother's womb. Ton and Ami Sefer also chiddush. If in the Sefer talks about the spleen, it says you're not allowed to eat it. But really, the animal itself you're not allowed to eat. That's one answer. Or he buys another answer is I said if the spleen was punctured, the animal's treif. Here the spleen wasn't punctured. Here the spleen was cut up. And nikav l'chud v'nechta l'chud. It's hard to understand the logic, but if you puncture it, it makes the animal treif. But if you slice it up, the animal is kosher. What's the logic of that? But we learned before, when it comes to treifas, there's no logic. And you cannot compare one treifa to another treifa. So you were right, if the kidneys went missing, I told you before, it's hard to understand if kidneys went missing, how the animal could survive. But they want to argue that an animal, because it has four stomachs, maybe could survive even the missing kidney. Nitla kidneys. Missing, it's all right. But if it has some kind of a let's say, had pus. If it had pus inside the kidney, it's treif. Missing is all right, but if it's there and it has a pus, that's painful, and it's treif. Even one kidney, surely two kidneys. Amri b'marava says in Eretz Yisrael, who the matoya lekusa, depending only if that pus when is deep, not just on the surface, lemakam chritz, to a place where all the veins are gathered together. It's inside the actual kidney. If the pus is through and through, then we say that it's treif. Be'echem makam chritz, where exactly is this section you're talking about? Lechivra, it's the white part, the tusim mas, the white part beneath the loins. I asked all the butchers and all those who were experts in treifas in Eretz Yisrael. They said, "Hilchos, the halacha is exactly like rachish ba papa. There's pus in the what do you call it? In the kidney and through into the where the area of the veins are. It is treif. But the less hilchos kebavira. This that he says that a puncture in the spleen is treif. The halacha is not like him. Even a puncture in the spleen is kosher." But when do we say the halach is not like him? Ella bikulshe. What part of the spleen had the puncture? In the thin part of the spleen is a puncture. It's still kosher. Aval besumche. But if it's in the thick part of the spleen, treifa. The iyish taye beka eved dinazah. But if you had left in the spleen the thickness of a golden coin, then and the needle didn't go all the way through, and so it's being protected by this meat over here, is kshedah, is kosher, even though you have a puncture in the top part of the spleen. But if you have this, all this meat sitting there on top of it, it protects it, that doesn't, you know, it doesn't get sick, it doesn't die. In Yisrael, they made a rule. Kol ha-poisel bereya, anything which renders an animal possible by the lungs, is kosher bekulia. The same problem in the kidney would be kosher. Shahari neck. I'll give you an example. A puncture. A puncture in the lung is possible. Maybe you put it in the water to see whether there's any bubbles there, because the slightest puncture is possible. Possible. Bereya. But the kosher bekulia, in the kidney, a puncture is all right. A puncture in the kidney is all right. The choshken surely hecha the kosher bereya, something which is kosher by the lungs, kosher bekulia surely is kosher by a kidney. You see, a kidney is more lenient than a lung. Maskevratam chumah the klalu, is that a rule? Bahari mugle, what about pas the kosher bereya? Pas is kosher when it comes to a lung, because we say it doesn't affect the lungs. Oh, yeah, a pas bekulia, we just said a minute ago. The halacha is like by rochish by papa that a pus in the kidney, if it goes all the way, penetrates all the way to the veins, it makes the animal treif. That's question number one. Question number two, Rashi says he doesn't understand exactly what the question is about imayim water zachi. If you have water inside the lungs, the kshedim hakavach, you have water inside the lungs that are transparent water, and you have water inside the kidney, they're both kosher. So what's the question? So they're both the same. Rashi, I don't know the question. Taisus tries to give his shot. Elo Ravashi. Ravashi says this is a very important rule. Treif is komed damid lahadodi. You're trying to resemble what's treif in the kidney. You should be treif in the lung, and treif in the lung in the kidney. He says the rule is ein oimin betreifus. There are no two treifus alike. Every single part of the body, every region has different laws, several rules. Here a puncture can be kosher, and here a puncture can be treif. And those are comparing to each other. We find that you can cut this side of the animal, and the animal will die. Let's say you cut through the esophagus, or the thing, and the animal dies. And yet, you cut through the shoulder, the animal's alive. Every part of the animal is different. Different things affect different way. If you have water in the lungs or water in the kidneys, it's kosher. If it's transparent water. If it's muddy water, treif, it is treif. V'chitzili nami, because then the animal will die. And even if it's clear water, there's no foul smell. Aval sriach, the foul smell, treif, it is treif. Hakul yishiktina, if you have a kidney that shrunk, some sickness. Bedaka, in a small animal, as long as it is a little bit left, is kosher. How little? At kipul, the size of a pea, if the kidney shrunk to the size of a pea, by a small animal, it's still kosher. Less than that is treif. Begasa, by a large animal, at ka'anba b'neinis, until a grape, a mid-sized grape. If it's shrunk less than that, it is treif. We'll stop over here again tomorrow. The idea is that I'm